listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
We're just talking about season tickets. I'm giving mine up. Anybody want to buy my PSL? You're more than welcome. Give us a call, 713-780-3776. I'll sell it to you.
Remember, sometime we do this, we do our own personal show eBay.
Yeah. No, yeah. So, Pro Football Focus has their mock draft. Their mock draft app. They got Trevor Lawrence, number one. Zach Wilson, number two. Going to the Jets. They got Penei Sewell going to the Dolphins. Congratulations, Del, on your left tackle.
Yeah, that's great, taking two left tackles in 2 years.
Justin Fields, they've got fourth to the Falcons. They got Ja'Marr Chase going to the Bengals, reuniting. They don't even... Where's Devontae Smith in this list? They got Caleb Farley going sixth to the Eagles. Trey Lance going seventh to the Lions. Kyle Pitts going to the Panthers. Micah Parsons to the Broncos. And Patrick Surtain going to the Cowboys. Where is Devontae Smith?
They didn't have Devontae?
They've got...
They must not have had a good grade.
Mel Kiper had Devontae Smith second to the Jets.
They must have had a bad grade on Devontae Smith this year. He must have grade, must have graded low for PFF.
Pro Football Focus, I think they forgot he's in the draft or something. What the hell? Let me find out where they've got him.
Well, shouldn't have had bad grades.
Mel Kiper's got Devontae going second overall.
I don't think that's going to happen either.
It's Steve Palazzolo. Yep. Who put this mock draft together and just
Palazzolo.
And he just botched the snot out of it.
He was a soft-tossing left-hand pitcher, by the way, with a curly perm. Yeah. And he's like 6'7".
He is?
Can't miss him. Yeah. 6'7", he throws it like 84 miles an hour. I'm telling you is actually real. He's got a curly perm, black perm. He was a left-hand pitcher, and now he's
he's botching a mock draft. He's got Devontae Smith going 15th to the Patriots.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Their grade must have been low on him. Why would you draft a Devontae Smith?
Why would you? He got Jalen Waddle going 11th.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why you'd take Devontae Smith.
I didn't even know why you would take him. When does he ever make a play?
Yeah, never.
I wouldn't take him until the third round, about the third or fourth pick.
Oh, you're going to – oh, so you aren't in on Deshaun being traded because you'd have an opportunity to draft them quicker than that when Deshaun gets traded.
You're probably going to have to get a quarterback.
You're going to get multiple first-rounders, right?
Yeah. Well, maybe not this year, though. Perhaps not this year.
Perhaps not.
Yeah. It depends on the Dolphins. We want three of their picks, the third, the 18th, and
actually,
then next year's
fair,
number one.
You are already a Dolphins fan, so you should be hoping they get Devontae at three.
Yeah.
Or you only go there if Deshaun goes there. What's the rule here?
I'm only a Dolphins fan if Deshaun goes.
Okay, so you better be rooting for like a Juju Smith-Schuster in free agency then.
Devontae Smith, 15th? This is immediately. Paul Zalazalo is done. He's out.
It's Steven Palazzolo.
Palazzolo. Palazzolo. Hey, Palazzolo. You this whole thing up.
Would Uncle say that to him after looking at his mock draft?
What kind of you're gonna get a fresh one over here?
Do you see your mock draft? And don't you have Devontae Smith, the kid of Alabama?
The matter with Jews?
Hey. Who told you? Hey. Who told you you can do a football mock draft with no Alabama player in the top of 10?
Watch the hair. You just
the family.
Don't touch the hair again.
You crying?
Come on, stop it,
Uncle. You can act like a man.
What's the matter with you? Your Hollywood, whatever he said that I can't say.
A bad word.
Yeah.
A Justin Thomas word.
Yeah.
How about Citibank? City has kept Justin Thomas, who was Ralph Lauren, dropped him. But Citibank said, we'll keep him as long as he gives a lot of the money we pay him to LGBTQ places.
Why don't they just dock his contract and send it directly to those places?
I don't know. But he has to make a real commitment to it. Otherwise,
what did he do again?
He dropped an F-bomb, the other F-bomb.
The one that Kobe dropped.
Kobe never
by the way.
Kobe never got fined, did he?
No.
Oh, yeah, he got fined by the league.
Yeah, he got fined by the league. And this is Kobe Celebration Day, by the way.
That's right. It is Kobe Celebration Day.
What does that mean?
it's honoring his
this
life.
Is the this anniversary. Is when it happened. Yeah.
This is the, yesterday.
His hometown
today,
in
or today.
I don't know. I
his childhood home in Italy. Did you see that?
No.
Yeah. Kobe's childhood home in Italy is honoring him.
Don't they have a giant mural of him?
They're honoring him with some kind of big plaza.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yes. Got, isn't that the town that has...
Kobe's
got
your
giant,
people, John.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, he died January 26th last year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Today's the 26th or 7th?
Yeah. Today's 26th. The 26th. Yeah.
Let's get Troy in here. He wants to talk about his Texans. What do you say, Troy?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Man, I love running late to work. I get to listen to more of you guys in the morning. Best show on the radio now.
That's Thank right.
You.
That's what
Lance,
we've been saying.
Lance, this question's for you. Yes, sir. Lance, this question's for you. Is there a quarterback in the draft this year that you would rather take a chance on than have to Tua? I'll hang up and listen.
He said instead of, you know, acquiring Tua, if you're the Texans, I guess. Is there a quarterback you'd rather?
Not really. I mean,
Trevor Lawrence, obviously.
Yeah. maybe Zach Wilson. I mean, but he's kind of small, so not. I'd rather see what I have with Tua.
You would?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It is amazing that Tua, you know, 6-3 as a starter.
He loses all this cachet.
But a lot of it was defense.
Yeah, beat Kyler Murray with the fourth quarter comeback. Played
14
well,
defensive touchdowns.
Not true. Played well against the Chiefs in a game where he almost led him to a comeback. But you know what? Let's move on from him already. Let's move on.
Yeah. I mean, people were off on Josh Allen real fast.
Yeah.
And he said, did you see Josh Allen's his exit? He was like... Yeah, what did you do this year? Well, I don't know. I guess I proved that they were right in drafting me. I guess I proved that this year.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to get better in that. You know, that playoff game, he wasn't very good, but he's right. They did, and you know what? It's hard to. I think it's kind of hard your rookie year as play quarterback in the NFL. I think that might be difficult. Not everybody is.
Not everybody's going to do it, and not everyone has the same situation because we talk about how. The Dolphins were good, and then you watch Tua, how come he couldn't have been better? You know, maybe he wasn't in a great situation offensively. Their offensive coordinator did just resign after a year on the job. So what does that say about the job that was being done? The quarterback coach that was there, now gone. So what does that say about the offensive staff in place? Whereas I think Justin Herbert's OC is in contention for jobs now that he can't be the Chargers OC. So I think it just situations are different. That's mm-hmm. all. You never know. We'll see what happens. Wherever he goes, it could be here in Houston or still in Miami.
I'm not giving up on Tua. If I there's no reason. I've seen quarterbacks. It takes a while with quarterbacks. Yeah. There's no way you can know what you have unless his football character is really low and he doesn't work at it and all this and that. But other than that, you know, if I were the Texans, I wouldn't have any problem if you're going to move to Deshaun Watson. Taking Tua back and a guy with 1 year of experience, he's on his rookie contract. I don't have any problem with it at all, especially with a genius like Tim Kelly.
Is Tim Kelly going to
Tim
remain?
Kelly is a genius.
Is he
Tim
remain?
Kelly has built up Deshaun Watson and fixed him. Remember when people used to say Bill O'Brien making Deshaun do terrible things? But now Tim Kelly is making him do great things.
No offense to Nick Saban, but I would have hired Tim Kelly as my OC before I'd Bill O'Brien.
Now you have Bill O'Brien and Bill O'Brien's best friend.
Doug Marone.
If something goes wrong with, because I get a feeling, you know, there is a chance Nick could get beat up. Nick's not the biggest guy either. Doug Marone and Bill O'Brien could jump him and beat him up if he starts yelling too much.
Have
you seen Doug Marone?
He's yeah, not small. A big dude.
Bill O'Brien, not
he looks
small.
Like, for me, he looks just like Fred.
When Nick starts screaming, it's one thing to scream at Lane Kiffin. It's quite another thing to scream at Bill O'Brien and Doug Marone.
Yeah.
These are two New England area guys. They're mass holes.
Yeah, I think that could be.
You think you're better than me?
Yeah, I think that could be a very interesting.
If Nick Saban hears, do you think you're better than me? I'm just telling you, they need to have a camera on the sideline like they don't have a Saban cam.
They're going to have one.
They're going to have a Saban cam. We will see he and Bill O'Brien get into it at least twice.
Lane Kiffin took all the ish because he had to rehabilitate himself. Sark was good enough where it didn't matter. Like, we never saw Saban yelling at Sark.
because he was scoring 50 a game.
Really good. Now, Bill O'Brien's going to enter with a talented guy, but a freshman who barely got any time this year. New guys across that offense. If they struggle early, by struggle, I mean they don't, instead of scoring 40, they score 30.
New tackle,
or so.
New guard, new center.
When he looks at him, when he doesn't have a play for fourth and one, I didn't have a play for that, Nick. What? What do you mean you didn't have a play for that?
Mm.
And you know,
good.
And you know Bill's going to be like, this little can't yell at me like that.
I know.
No, I'm going to get me some of that. Watch this. Watch this.
I'm going to get me some of that.
713-780-3776, the number, if you would like to get in here on ESPN 97.5. I want to talk about my peeps. Jerry, we'll get you on the other side. Anybody else wants in? I want to talk about peeps over at Chastain Ford. I just love them. I really do. And you will love them, too. They are so nice. They do everything right. You ask them about, you know, hey, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And it's just, that's just not how we do business. That's just not how we do business. How we do business is we give the best in service and we give you the best prices that we possibly can. And the prices right now, the Ford F-150 XLTs, the 2020s, are up to $10,000 off right now. You got unbelievable savings on the XLTs. You got unbelievable savings right now on the F-150 four-door STX, $29,999 or $499 a month with zero down. Okay, if you're looking for the best deals that you can possibly get with Ford and the best people, and they're not going to have dealer add-ons, they're not going to just automatically say, oh, well, you got to have this, you got to have this. When you agree to a price with Chastain Ford, they are going to stick with it. You will love doing business with these people. You can do it all online. They will deliver the car to you. You can test drive it from home, or you can go to the dealership. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. It's 5 minutes from downtown. Chastain Ford.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 814 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. We've got some stuff that we haven't gotten to, but let's get Jerry in here before we get some of this other info from other sports. What's going on, Jerry?
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Good.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I don't want to change the subject or anything. I just want to shout out Kobe Bryant's family. It's his one-year anniversary since his passing in 2020. That's all. Thank you, guys.
All right, man. We appreciate it. Yeah, it's got to be. This has got to be a tough. I mean, losing those two for Vanessa, right? Yeah, that's got to be unbelievably difficult. So,
Gigi, yeah her daughter Gigi and her husband.
Yeah, Gigi, man, yeah. that's got to be.
They were one of multiple families who lost people.
It's not only Kobe, but obviously Kobe's the most well-known. But, yeah, that family that lost the mom and the.
I think it was the dad. Wasn't the dad? Or
was the dad on? Or
and the daughter.
No, the daughter, and he was left with three daughters.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, to something. Make sure. It's just awful. Just awful. What a terrible, terrible day this was a year ago. I remember seeing it. I woke up from a nap and looked up at the TV and it was Kobe Bryant passes or Kobe Bryant dies.
You just can't believe
it. And I was just like, what the hell? What? I just couldn't. I was like, I couldn't understand it.
Yeah, it was John Altobelli, Alyssa Altobelli, which is a daughter, and Carrie Altobelli. Which I believe was the wife. So it was a family.
A family died.
Yeah.
Mm.
In the world of sports, I know there have been some young pitchers who have passed away fairly recently. Daryl Kyle, obviously, we knew Daryl, you know, as a Houston Astro.
The Miami pitcher.
Yeah, Miami pitcher.
Jose Fernandez.
Yeah.
With the water,
right.
Water accident. But it does. I mean, it's just pretty rare. Now, Kobe's career was over, but he was still, what, in his early 40s?
I mean, I think maybe 41, I think.
41, yeah. Maybe a little old.
Maybe.
But Kobe was he was just getting into, had just won an Oscar. I mean, he really had, he was, his new, the new stage of his career was going to be pretty, I think a pretty big deal with all he was doing with the spotlight stuff on ESPN, and he was getting into movie making, and I think he would have continued to do that. It's just so rare to think of, you know, when they, when these things happen. I'm trying to think in boxing, has that ever been the case for this high level? I mean, there was a kid named Kid Akeem that I liked a lot, but I mean, you just don't, it's just so shocking because you just rarely, I guess, I mean, Hank Gathers, to have that on the court, that was a pretty traumatic thing.
Yep.
A college kid dies on the court.
Yep.
It was a really traumatic thing.
Lynn Bias.
Lynn Bias, yeah. That would, now Lynn Bias is another one that, that, so I was watching a documentary called Crack about, it was a two or three part series, four part series. It's on Netflix, and it talks about how crack came into the country and, you know, the whole nine yards. And, the Lynn Bias thing is when everyone got really shook, like nationally, like, okay, we got to start taking crack way more seriously.
Yeah.
But yeah, Lynn Bias was a really, you know, that's a guy who dueled with Michael Jordan. ACC basketball and college basketball was a mega big deal back then in the 80s. That was really huge. But I'm just trying to think in terms of all time, you know, you see guys retire early or whatever, but the passing of somebody. Now, once again, Kobe was not young by league. Like, he wasn't actually in the league, but that is just so unusual to have that happen. And everyone was so crushed. It is a little strange that he was so hated for much of his career by so many people. Like, you got on, like, or you were either on Team Kobe or you didn't like Kobe.
I hated him.
I didn't care for Kobe that much, but I respected him.
Yeah.
I didn't hate him, but I respected him. I know Raheel loved him, loves him. But everyone, the outpouring for Kobe Bryant.
He was my least favorite player.
Yeah. That's how he was.
Yeah. No. I hated him.
And some people, and it's
you,
but he
you did.
To,
there was always, oh, Kobe. Just can't.
Well,
it's
because everyone, oh, look at him try to emulate Michael Jordan. He's trying to be another Michael Jordan. But you know what? When it's all said and done, you think, was that such a bad thing that he was trying to emulate the guy he loved?
The greatest.
And took on many of the same qualities that helped make Kobe great. I mean, Kobe was a special.
Yeah, but Laker fans took it too far saying that he was better. Just like this all this LeBron stuff. Hate him now, too. It's just stupid. They're just stupid.
You are a Jordan
Laker
fan.
Fans do believe that they're the only organization that's ever existed.
Yeah, they do. They do.
They are a Laker obnoxious fan is, brand.
Yeah, and they're a bunch of T-shirt fans, too. Y'all suck. The NBA looks like March is going to be the All-Star. They got a break from March 5th to March 10th. So that looks like it possibly could be the All-Star break. They're working with the league, with the teams, with the Players Association.
Do you see what the NFL Pro Bowl is?
No.
Game of Madden.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the NFL Pro Bowl is a game of Madden, and Deshaun Watson is one of the guys playing. There's four guys who are going to play. I'll pull it up for you right now. There's four guys who are going to play.
One offense, one defense on each side.
I guess so. Yeah. Deshaun Watson, Kyler Murray, Jamal Adams, and Derrick Henry are the four players who are going to be playing Madden. So that's how they're playing the Pro Bowl. They're playing it virtually this year. Cole Beasley also, by the way. Do you know who Cole Beasley is? He's one of those little white guys.
Yeah. He played with a broken leg.
Yeah. He goes, there was no way I was going to miss the playoffs. That's the opposite of load management.
Yeah. No, he's the exact opposite of load management. Surprisingly, Major League Baseball
and their players are
not getting along. Apparently, the Players Association has rejected their offer of expanded playoffs and a universal DH. So the National League is going to go back to not having a DH, and they will not have the expanded playoffs like they did this year.
What's the reason for wait?
Because they just want to be biz notches. That's all. Anything that the owners suggest, they just immediately reject.
Why would the players not want expanded playoffs when it means more players get more money? Obviously, I'm missing something here. The players would clearly not just, I mean, there's clearly something they don't like, but I don't know. I have to find out what's the deal on that one. And then also the DH, What's the rationale on the DH?
Well, I guess that what the players are saying is we got a collective bargaining agreement. We ain't changing it. That's all. Because that's what baseball players do. They just have to fight with the owners. That's all. Well, owners want something? Okay. If you want expanded playoffs and you want a universal DH, we want another bajillion dollars in guaranteed money. Okay.
Richard Justice said on Friday when he was in here in your seat, he said, baseball is for sure headed for a nuclear winter not this year, but next winter.
The two sides already have an agreement in place in the form of the 2016-21 collective bargaining agreement, and the union is under no obligation to renegotiate that agreement. 2021.
Yeah, Richard said it's going to be a nuclear winter because the two sides are not going to agree on the fundamentals, and he thinks it's going to be really bad.
Anything.
And that the owners will, this is their chance to make their play to get the finances under control, which means control themselves.
Right.
It's like, what do we do about the Yankees and the Dodgers and now the Mets? What can we do to control them? Let's put some stuff in place where we can't do stupid things.
How about the Yankees traded Ottavino to the Red Sox? And the Red Sox had to come out with a statement about why they did a deal with the Yankees.
Did they really?
They had to justify it to their fans. Why are we trading with the Yankees?
But I respect that, though.
Yeah. I mean, what I didn't understand, do you have the Coach K getting on that student?
His apology or the initial?
No, the actual what Coach K had to
Does
apologize
Does he have an apology
for.
Now?
Yeah, he apologized.
He's got an apology now, which is, so this student, his very first question that he's ever asked Coach K in a virtual press conference after the game. They lost to Louisville 70-65, I'm going to say.
All around there.
Yeah, they lost. I think it was a 5-point loss. It was a 5-point loss. And, you know, Duke sucks. They're not in the top 25. They're just not a good basketball team. Coach K didn't even want to play the season, you'll remember. Of course, another coach claimed it was because, well, that's because you suck this year. So you, nice job, Coach K.
Yeah.
This kid asked after the game, Coach K's sitting there with his Coach K face on, this Coach K losing face on, and he asks him this question.
Hi, Coach. I'm just curious as to what the next step forward here is for the team as you guys move into another week of basketball.
Yeah, why don't we just evaluate this game? You know, I'm not into what our next step forward is right now. We just finished the hard-fought game. Yeah, I don't know if, like, when you, what's your major? What's your major at Duke? What's your hardest class?
Econ.
Okay. So say you just had the toughest econ test in the world. And when you walked out, somebody asked you, what's your next step? You see what I mean? You have some empathy and, you know, just give us time to evaluate this game and then we'll figure out just like we always try to do.
Is losing to Louisville your hardest
econ test?
Is losing to Louisville your hardest thing you've ever had to? What's he talking about? It's not a Final Four loss.
It's a hard test.
It's not a Final Four loss.
I didn't think that was a necessarily an apples to orange. What's your hardest class?
Mm.
That kid wanted to know. Like he clammed up. What's your hardest class? What's your hardest class? Econ. What if you have an econ class and it's hard? You take a test and it's the worst test ever.
So, but did he really have to apologize for that? I mean, we gotta apologize for everything.
He was being a D word for no reason.
Yeah,
I mean,
he was being a D word and shouldn't apologize for being a D word except to the kid if he wanted to. I don't think it was that. I think it was that big a deal.
But the issue is because it was a student report. If he did that to a guy who worked for
that's probably
the
why.
Paper,
I mean, you don't have to go in on a student reporter about that.
And
say,
that's
you know,
not
we just
an awful
focus.
Question.
We just want to. He thought he was teaching life lessons. We just want to focus on what's here. We don't know what's next. I mean, we're trying to process.
If I was a student reporter, I was like, excuse me, losing to an above average Louisville team, you're going to compare it to my hardest test ever?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think you are?
So, yeah, it was a 70-65 loss. Jake Piazza is the name of the kid. And apparently Coach K called him afterwards. He said, our call was short, but the sincerity in his apology was genuine. And in the end, I appreciated the call. What I will remember most from this weekend, however, is the support from all the journalists who reached out or replied on Twitter. And I can't thank everyone enough for that. Blah, 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 blah. So, I mean, come on. This is not, it's not like there was a Bobby Knight.
Well, he apologized directly to the kid. He didn't do a public one. So
no.
That's fine.
No.
It's not a big deal.
No, I guess. Yeah, no, that's better. Yeah. As opposed to a public apology.
Yeah, he didn't have a press conference to talk about why he was wrong. He called personal, and that's fine. Yeah, but and it's over.
Sorry. The crap that I've gotten from coaches before.
Well, you're a professional.
No, I'm not.
Well, that's true. You get paid to do it. You're not a professional.
The crappy answers. Covering Jim Mora when he was the Saints head coach.
Oh, what a cranky guy.
Oh, my God. You couldn't. I was like, I ain't asking him nothing today.
We had Saban.
Ron Swoboda used to ask him.
We had Saban. Oh, he did
but
not
he
like
asked
Ron
the dumb. And I think Ron Swoboda started doing it on purpose. It was. It was like.
What kind of questions? Jim Mora made me super uncomfortable. I mean, the playoffs, no. That was famous. And then whenever he had to fire Carl Smith and he started crying, he was so mad about having to fire Carl Smith and so upset. That was uncomfortable. But Jim Mora was just...
Jim Mora,
when he turned
it didn't
to
matter
the next
what
question,
you,
he had
it
that
didn't
look.
Matter what you asked after a loss. You were going to catch it. Were going to catch it. It didn't matter what you asked. And, well, Ron Swoboda did it on purpose, though. Ron Swoboda was a Mets right fielder back in the late 60s, and he turned into a news guy on a television news guy in New Orleans, and he was just stupid. The questions were just stupid, and Jim Mora used to light him up about every single game, and it almost got comical, but that wasn't so bad. We got to apologize for we hurt everybody's feelings today. Oh my God.
I didn't think that was that bad.
The kid didn't ask for an apology. Coach K, for whatever reason, I guess, made a personal one, and it's over.
Now, I could see that when he was berating the crazies for, was it Jeff, what's his name? Jeff, another coach.
Jeff Capel?
Was it Jeff Capel, I think. Jeff Capel was, and Coach K was like, he's one of ours. But they weren't even.
They were telling them to sit down or something. It was like, let students be students.
Yeah,
I didn't think they were being disrespectful.
Were
they?
Think it was, and they said it wasn't even. We were in a. It wasn't aimed at Jeff Capel, coach.
Yeah, is
and
that
so
what it was?
He had to apologize for that. That I guess I see, because when you're berating somebody, this wasn't berating anybody. He was telling them, hey, just had a tough test. You know what a tough test is, kid?
It's the toughest test. It wasn't a tough test.
That's what they were saying.
It was Louisville.
They were saying, Jeff Capel, sit with us. Jeff Capel, sit with us. Shut up. He's one of us.
Right.
He starts freaking out.
And they were, that's what. They were saying, sit with us.
Yeah.
Showing
up and cheering for your team. They deserve, Jeff said, love you guys back. No offense taken from me. Keep showing up and cheering for your team. They deserve it. It just, Jeff Capel, sit with us. Like, shut up! Do you know who this man is?
Yeah, coach, that's why.
Yeah, that's why we want him to sit with us.
Yeah, we like him. He's one of ours.
Now, that one I could certainly see where
you're
college
on. You're going to scream it, Bobby Hurley, to eat bleep. Your family should be embarrassed of you. You're a disgrace to this university. Like, what do we do? What do we do, coach? We love Jeff Capel. We never even saw him. We weren't born when he was playing, but
we love him.
We respect him.
We want
him
to sit with us.
Screaming at us again, Pawpaw. He's now Pawpaw.
Okay.
Pawpaw Krzyzewski is just constantly just like, when he's back in the driveway, he's convinced he's going to hit a kid playing like, is everyone out? Move it. Like 15 feet from the driveway. Papa, we're way out of the way. You're not going to hit anybody. If I hit somebody and you don't die, there's going to be problems. I'm going to spank. Papa's going to spank you. Do you want Papa to give you pop-pops?
When we come back, Arian Foster had some things to say about the organization, the Texans organization.
The guy who doesn't follow football.
The guy, it was about when he was there, actually.
But it's pretty favorable from what I remember.
Not in the least. And that'll happen next. What happened right now is Champion Energy. Look, Champion Energy is here for you. At you just give them a call and or go to the website, champion.energy/1560, and start saving money. I honestly, it's unbelievable how much money I've saved over. I've been talking about them for 10, 12 years now, and it has been unbelievable how good it is. If you're looking for the best way to save some money, go with a company that's been around this long. Go with a company that's local. Go with a company that you can trust. Go with a company that when your contract is up, they're going to tell you they got a better rate for you, which the other companies just don't do. You're looking for that kind of service and that kind of company. You got it all at champion.energy/1560. Champion.energy/1560.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. Arian Foster did a podcast. He did a podcast with, I don't know who it was, a Gems and Juice podcast. I don't know what Gems and Juice is, but here's what he had to say about the Texans organization. I do know that the organization had their troubles bringing in free agents, which I never really understood. They have their struggles in communicating with players. I've always thought this about the NFL in general, but my experience with Houston is that they really didn't give an F about how you felt and what you said. It was like, you do what we say. And that's another variable as to why I was disassociated from the wins and losses bleep. It was like, y'all don't give a F about my input. Maybe three coaches tops played at that level. The others have just been around the game. And so how the F can you not have input from people doing it at a high level who are in it? I never understood that bleep. And so once you realize that you're just a chess piece, then for me, it was just like, all right, I'm just going to do what I can. I'm going to play hard, do my thing, take care of my dues, but I'm here for a purpose. He played for 2 years with Bill O'Brien. And I can certainly see that that was the way that Bill O'Brien did not want to hear it. Can you see Bill O'Brien? You want to tell him something? Bill O'Brien, I don't give a rat's ass what you think.
Do you remember how Arian got real salty with the media?
Yep.
And I don't even know that it was necessarily towards the media. I think he was just so – and actually, remember, he started making a mockery of Bill O'Brien. Like, oh, I'm just trying to be the best teammate I can be. Remember that? Yeah. That was all Bill O'Brien.
Well, remember when Bill O'Brien – that was Bill O'Brien's second year, I think.
Yeah.
Just don't even talk to them. That's all you answer. I'm just trying to be the best teammate I can possibly be. I mean – and remember when Arian started doing different accents? He was doing a British accent and then a – you don't remember that?
Mm-mm.
Oh, yeah. Arian Foster started.
Not when Bill O'Brien was here, was it?
I think that might have been right before O'Brien.
Yeah, he was having fun back then. Yeah, remember? Yeah. And he would talk about dragons and stuff like that.
I remember I was out in New Orleans, and I asked Arian a simple question about why you got so much better, and he was like, and he just couldn't have been a bigger a-hole about it. And
really?
Like, yeah. When he used to come in here with Sean Pendergast every week. And they did, and he was great. He was great.
That was early. That was like by year two.
Yeah, and he turned into an a-hole.
The reality is that I think he also was really. Arian is a guy who didn't like what he saw on social media. People taking shots. I think that's when social media first started ramping up, and he was dealing with stuff on social media he didn't like. Social media can make you a little cranky. And I think that happened. I think the way some of the stuff happened with the Texans bothered him. I don't think he loved the game of football.
Nope.
I mean, he's even said it. I think everything played into it. He did get his money and his contract, and maybe some of it is he became a little more aloof. Maybe just everything he was dealing with kind of turned him. It's not the first time we've seen a guy come into a league one way, and they're very different within a few years. That actually happens quite frequently. Once you get treated a certain way, once you have the trappings of money and fame and success. I think a lot of people, celebrities, whatever, just be people you know,
yeah.
just business people who make a bunch of money and move up in the world and get a big house, whatever. A lot of people change. A lot of people change. Yeah. And I think Arian Foster is one of those guys that changed a little bit too.
Yep. Are you looking for a comparison to Kobe? How about Steve McNair? Yep. Died not too long after he retired. Payne Stewart. Ooh. Payne Stewart's death.
Yeah,
that was
that's
huge.
Right.
That was huge.
Steve McNair actually is a pretty good one. Yeah.
Yeah, but Steve McNair wasn't
murdered.
As big as Kobe.
No. Yeah. But he was murdered by
His girlfriend.
His wife or girlfriend?
His girlfriend, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then Payne Stewart. That was crazy how the plane literally. I can't remember what ended up happening with the plane. The plane decompressed and it lost. And
everybody was passed out.
Passed out.
And it was on autopilot.
And the plane was on autopilot. But what happened? What ended up happening with the plane?
It just crashed.
Where?
I think into a mountain.
Wasn't it to the water?
I thought it was a mountain.
Okay.
I thought.
So I remember them following on the news. We're watching them follow the plane.
It was
this is the most crazy thing I've ever seen.
Terrible. So there is all that. 713-780-3776 is the number if you would like to get in here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. All right, I got a question for you. So Keyshawn did this. He ranked all the quarterbacks that realistically could move. Realistically. And I was wondering what your order could be. Is it realistic to think that Matt Ryan is going to be on the move? I think so.
I think it's possible, yeah.
Yeah.
I hope not. I mean, like I said, the less competition for quarterbacks, the better for the Texans.
No, right. It's realistic to, okay, what about, is there Trubisky? Is that realistic?
Oh, I think it's realistic. He could be gone.
Yeah, he could be out there.
Yeah, he could be. Yeah, I think he'll be available. I think that's extremely realistic.
Sam Darnold is realistic.
Sam Darnold's realistic, yeah.
He had six. Oh, Cam Newton.
Yep.
Cam Newton is realistic. Jimmy Garoppolo. That's realistic that they could.
It's realistic that they find somebody.
That they can move on. Deshaun. Obviously, mm-hmm. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is realistic.
I don't think Garoppolo, unless you find somebody, unless you get Stafford or Deshaun, I don't think Garoppolo is going anywhere.
You don't?
Nah, I think they'll stick with him another year. They need a quarterback. Like, they're not far from winning.
Well, unless they get one of these quarterbacks.
That's what I'm saying. Well, which one of that list?
Well,
I would say only Stafford and Deshaun. Anyone else in there?
And Stafford. That was six. That made six. Stafford made six.
I mean, not Darnold,
no
Cam Newton, not Trubisky. Now Ryan.
Matt Ryan
to go back and do it again with Kyle Shanahan.
He
that would make sense.
He was league MVP under Shanahan.
I would give up a first rounder to bring in Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan did not play that well.
No, Matt Ryan played poorly.
It's a little bit of a concern. I mean, you've got, granted, Julio Jones is out for a lot of the year, but you do have, I mean, he was great in Kyle Shanahan's offense. Man. Yeah, Calvin Ridley, Gage played fairly well. Like, you'd want Matt Ryan to play a little bit better. But I could see them potentially making a move for him.
He said Keyshawn's order was Deshaun is the most attractive. Then it's Stafford. Then it's Garoppolo.
You want to see the Texans?
No, then it was Ryan. Then it was Garoppolo. Then it was Cam. And then it was Darnold, least attractive.
Well, he hasn't done anything.
Yeah. But to me, Cam's the least
I would argue that Cam is literally out of gas.
Yeah.
You've seen what you have with Cam, and it's over.
He's...
And Darnold is only... You're just like, that's just a hope. You don't really have anything that shows you that Darnold's a guy. I would say, I guess Philadelphia has really come out against moving Wentz. So I guess Wentz isn't on that list. Jared Goff realistically should be. There's talk that Jared Goff could be moved for Matt Stafford. Heads up. So that's why I think Matt Stafford, I don't think Matt Stafford really is much of a concern for the Texans in terms of being on the market, because to me, the teams who are going to covet Stafford would be Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, San Francisco, the Rams.
Teams that are close.
If they flip-flop quarterbacks, if they don't get along, McVay and Jared Goff. What do you think Texans fans would do if Deshaun was part of a trade, this is not all, to the 49ers? For Jimmy Garoppolo, multiple picks, and let's just say a defensive player. but not a star. Let's just say some defensive back. But you got a former Patriot. Here's why I'm saying that.
Oh, Garoppolo.
Former Patriot quarterback that Nick Caserio knows. He's a starter. He's done some okay things.
Yeah. No, he took him to the Super Bowl.
Huh?
You know, how do you think put him on his back with 80 yards passing a game?
How do you think Texans fans back-to-back playoff games?
Yeah, it was monster games.
Well, it was efficient. How do you think that Texans fans respond to Deshaun for Jared Goff or Deshaun for your friend Jimmy Garoppolo?
Mm. Anybody want to buy my PSL? 713-780-3776.
You were offering that before this scenario.
I know.
Dale, how many calls have we had, and have you like been taking down the numbers of people
who
want
it? Well, we have an intern, and he hasn't run in here saying he's overwhelmed by people offering.
Listen, if too many of you want this thing, then there's going to have to be a draw.
Yeah, we're going to have to. We'll auction it off. Okay.
All right. Right now, let's start the bid. $10 for John's PSL.
I got to go higher.
You know, you need to send out there. You heard Deshaun staying and Eric Bieniemy's a hire. That might help your cause.
Oh, you're going to have to do that. Oh, you know what? Let me throw this
even
question
out
here.
Deshaun staying and Eric Bieniemy is hired. I want to sell it.
I had a friend of mine who is black who said, "I don't care who they hire. I'm pretty much out on the Texans right now, but as soon as Deshaun Watson's gone, I'll 100% be out on the Texans. So y'all better hire somebody you like and not worry about." Do you think the Texans are going to lose black fans when Deshaun Watson's gone? Because I've heard they are going to hire a black head coach.
I think they probably already.
They think that that's going to be like.
We've heard it with black callers saying it's a racist organization.
But I think that's the
common thought right now.
But I think people are misreading black. Like, it's a little patronizing to just think, we're going to get you. Do you guys want black head coach? We're going to do you black head coach. Will you buy a jersey?
844.
I think they want to win and want a good organization like everybody else.
I'd like to hear if you're African American out there listening to the show and you want to chime in on this.
I do.
Let's do it on the other side.
So, I'm not a fan of the Texans, but I am an African American, so I don't know. I don't know if I can speak on this.
You can't.
We'll see. No, you can't depends. Because you're not even a fan. Okay,
but I have your picks.
You got to.
Does that allow me to talk?
No, you're a big fan of the Texans.
Actually, I'm a huge. No, I'm a fan of the old regime. I'm not sure about this one.
845 ESPN 97.5. Time for me to talk about GiveMeTheVin.com. That's my man, John Clay Wolf. GiveMeTheVin.com. If you're looking for the best way to sell that vehicle, and John Clay Wolf will pay you more. And he says, listen, he guarantees he's going to pay you more. He's going to pay you more because that's what John Clay Wolf do. And, oh, by the way, he's got some jobs available, too. If you want to be a buyer and you don't need to know anything about the car business, that's the funny thing. You don't need to know what cars are worth because he's got all you have to do is be able to hit a computer and type in what kind of car it is and what year, what kind of shape it's in, and you get the price that John Clay Wolf will offer. And it's going to be more than CarMax, because if he can't beat CarMax, he is going to send you $100. So he's going to beat CarMax every time. And if you're looking for a job, John Clay Wolf says, go to the website, GiveMeTheVin.com, and click on jobs. You can send in your resume and start to work. And you don't need to have any knowledge about cars. GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 847 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. Ask the question, if you're African-American, do you feel like this organization is racist? Lance, you talked to a guy who said it doesn't matter who they hire.
He's a guy I've known for a while. He's, I think, in his 50s. He's like, I don't care who they hire. And I get the sense that it's, I mean, it feels a little patronizing. Like, we're going to hire a black head coach. You guys know that, right? So whether or not Deshaun's gone, yes. I mean, I'm always in favor of the best coaches, best general managers. I don't care about race. And that means if it's all black, if it's all white, I want the team to be good for the fan base to experience something that's well run. And there are plenty of teams, you know, and once again, I understand the issues that people have with diversity in the NFL, things like that. I'm not skipping over that. What I'm saying is that it feels very patronizing to, it's always sat a little wrong with me, this whole concept that, well, the Texans are going to hire a black head coach. So let's get some guys lined up. And I don't think the Texans would say that, but watch who all the finalists are. And I don't think Jim Caldwell's the best guy out there. I mean, we know that Leslie Frazier is a guy who is a coordinator for a team that's doing well. He's got NFL experience. He's a solid dude in the building. That makes total sense. Caldwell, to me, has had success in Detroit, but he's not in football right now. Bieniemy, you know, Bieniemy makes sense. Eberflus makes sense. Daboll makes sense. Why Saleh wasn't even given an interview? I have no idea. Why Eric Bieniemy? And this looks so, and it's so transparent, too. You didn't even have Eric Bieniemy. You never even requested an interview. But now when you've got issues with your coach, because you backdoored Deshaun Watson, from what I heard, it is really, it's almost 100% because of how they handled Nick Caserio thing. That they, behind the scenes, it was, Deshaun was involved until he wasn't, until Jack got everything on that side. Now, why Deshaun didn't get rid of Jack, I don't know. But right now, I think he's past that. He's like, okay, I'm done with you guys. Here's somebody who's African-American, says, the bleep is definitely patronizing. I flip-flop back and forth between whether the Texans are outright racist or full-on incompetent. Neither of those... Oh, hold on, let me open this with the... He said, neither of those things engenders fandom. I would like to see them hire a black coach, but not just to give them a paper lion team to go out and to try and win with, which is what it kind of feels like here.
No, that's
I'm just
this
curious.
Coach is getting Bo Porter. There's no question. He's getting Bo Porter.
You
Let's
think
get
so?
Some calls. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You don't think they'll give him a chance?
He's gonna have.
You mean
years.
Bo Porter is? You don't have a real.
You're
chance.
Gonna be the you're gonna be the coach while we're really crappy, and then when we get better, when we get better players, you're not good enough. Look at your record. And they're gonna fire him. And this is that's what happened to Bo Porter.
Then don't take this job.
You get 100 losses a year on your record.
But see, Leslie Frazier has to take this job. Bieniemy does not have
no.
to.
No. No. Well, Bieniemy does.
Bieniemy may not have it.
No, Bieniemy does have to. He's not getting any offers.
No, you don't want this one to be your one shot.
Well, guess what? Let's get Will in here. Hey, Will.
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
Good, man. How are you?
All right, man. Look, I'm African American. I don't care if we get a black coach, white coach, Hispanic coach. But as long as he comes in and wins, that's all I really care about, man. You know, it's all the racism. If they're very on the racist, hey, it's going to be there. It's not going nowhere. So ain't nothing you can change about the racism. You know what I'm saying? Just, hey, look, I'm looking for a winner. And if they don't win, I'm going to Miami or Tennessee.
Yeah, I think people do take – I think it's a little disingenuous to think that fans in Houston don't – that they value a black coach more than winning is a little like
– No, but – But there is.
They are mutually exclusive events, though. Like,
well, I mean,
the fans always want to win first and foremost.
We used to remember. We used to get calls from Collie, which is he was racist himself, and he just root for African American coaches and quarterbacks. And back in the day, they were a lot harder to find. Although today, it's hard to find African American coaches.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like there's a bunch of
much
them.
Much easier on the quarterback front, but
yeah.
I mean, you still have people who just are going to root for, they're just going to root for quarterbacks based on, or coaches based on color.
On color. Absolutely.
I mean, that's happening now. We see it, you know, I'm sure there's white people like that. We run into it. It's unapologetic on the black side where you just say, no, I rock with black quarterbacks and that's it.
Right. Now, I like Will. He just said, I don't care. Win. I don't give a rat's ass what color you are.
Yeah.
If you're racist, you're going to be racist. You're still going to be racist, not racist. Whatever. Just win. We need a winner.
Is he wrong?
No, he's not. Get a winner. TJ, what do you say, TJ?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing, TJ?
Man? Yeah, man, just to piggyback off what the caller said. Yeah, you know, just want to win. From the outside looking in, I mean, you're kind of patronizing Deshaun Watson, and you keep going –
the whole you keep going back to New England. The best thing to come out of New England right now is Brian Flores and Tom Brady. Everybody else sucks. Mm-hmm. And you keep picking from that tree, something, hoping something grows and it's not growing. Because in the mindset of black people, it ain't white. So you keep going back to that. And just change your way of thinking. Okay, New England, we're done with you. Nobody's winning from there. You're not getting Bill Belichick. You're not getting Tom Brady. Let it go. Start from the ground up. And when you win, winning trumps everything. Right now, they're not winning, period. Houston not winning, period. The city at all. We suck right now. The best thing I hope is the Astros can hold on to whatever they got. And I hang up, and thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks, TJ. Yeah, the New England thing, you got Josh McDaniels left. So Caserio is one of the guys that came out of the tree. So now you got Josh McDaniels left. I don't know that Matt Patricia gets another. You know, he got hired back as defensive coordinator. I don't know that he gets another job as a head coach. I think the tree is officially going to die after Josh McDaniels. I don't know that there's any other, because Tom Brady leaving really further killed that tree a little bit. And Chris Greer is also he's from that. He was in New England. Is he considered the GM for the Dolphins? Wasn't he in New England?
Yes.
Yeah. So Chris Greer and Brian Flores, yeah, that's, and Tom Brady, you're right. Those are the only, that's the only guys I can think of.
We'll see Joe Judge, how he does.
Yeah. We'll see Joe Judge. We'll see Nick Caserio.
The thing about Greer, he hasn't been New England since like 99. He's been with the Dolphins since 2000. So
he
wasn't there for the winning.
He wasn't even there for TV. Oh, okay.
No.
So he's not really a New England guy.
No, he sucks.
No, he's not part of that tree. So oh, he's that's got, right. Yeah, it's the other one.
What are you talking?
Never
about?
Mind.
He's got a chance to be good. Now.
He's been with the Dolphins. He's been out of there. Where's he been?
He's been with the Dolphins 2000.
20 years.
He's
since 2000.
He's last.
Well, then he sucks anyway because you guys have sucked since 2000.
Well, yeah, he's been an area scout. He hasn't been the
still.
Lead guy.
He's responsible for all the crappy players.
No, he's not.
Did the Texans hire Brian? Okay, so Brian Gain, I think, came over from Miami, I think, because he was a Parcells guy. Came to Houston. Got chased out of Houston to Buffalo, and then came back as the GM, and then he went back. He's in Buffalo now.
Well, he's on a yo-yo. He feels good about the Texans organization right now, I'm sure.
I would.
Q, what's up, Q?
Hey, I'm
going to
do a little bit of future predictions. So, everybody's been saying Josh McDaniels or whatever hasn't been taking any jobs because he's basically the coach in waiting there in New England. And I'm thinking that within the next year or so, Belichick hangs it up and takes a different position within the organization where he'll still have the control, and Josh will be the coach. And I'm thinking it's going to be the same thing for the Chiefs. Andy Reid, especially if they've been the Super Bowl or back-to-back Super Bowl, Andy Reid can hang it up, maybe take another position within the Chiefs organization, and then Eric steps in as head coach. Mm.
So there's that thought, but if Eric Bieniemy really wanted to do that, I think you could have an understanding behind the scenes. Andy's not old by coaching standards.
He just looks it.
Well, he's in his 60s.
62.
But by coaching standards, 62 is not old. He could go another 6 years easily. It's a question of does he want to. I think it's reasonable to ask about health.
I think it's reasonable to ask why would you give up with Pat Mahomes when you're, as you know, now, I can see Belichick going, yeah, I think I'm done.
I mean, unless when he gets
I've
old.
Had Cam Newton. Now I'm going to have – what am I going to have this year?
Yeah, Jarrett Stidham, Cam Newton.
He's now all I'm doing is destroying my legacy. I just think that Andy Reid, he ain't going nowhere. He got Pat Mahomes locked up for
like
10 years.
Unless you hate winning.
Yeah.
And maybe you secretly hate winning.
Look,
why would you?
I had to put up with T.O. and Donovan McNabb.
Yeah, I got Tyreek and Travis Kelce and Pat Mahomes. And
the salary cap thing will be an issue
at some point.
But Andy Reid with Pat Mahomes has a shot. Look, he's only 62. He could overtake Belichick as like, the greatest of all time. If he stuck with Pat Mahomes for like the next decade.
He started early in his career, too. He's going to keep racking up wins.
He could
wins.
Take that away. Super Bowls will matter, but win this one. Win a couple more in the next decade, all of a sudden the question become, is Andy Reid the best coach to ever coach? He's got a shot at that.
We heard that about Urban Meyer.
That's a lot of wins. That's a lot of wins he's going to have to get.
Well, he's got the best quarterback.
I'm talking about super. He's going to have to get to a lot more Super Bowls.
Well, if Pat Mahomes is what we believe he is.
He's been to three, though. And this is third one.
And he could go 2-1 if he wins.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk right now about basketball. Screw football. Screw football team. Screw everything.
Basketball is your favorite sport.
Basketball is my favorite sport.
You like the way they dribble up and down the court.
Well, I like how they dunk.
I don't need your rapping dad raps during the hoop.
That's
spot.
Curtis Blow. Put some respect on Curtis Blow's name.
You sound like rap. It was
just like
from
I'm the king of the microphone. So is Dr. J and Moses Malone. If that doesn't tell you how old school that is.
Mm. Does that have anything to do with the basketball?
He mentioned Curtis basketball.
We're playing basketball.
Okay. Let's play basketball on a hoops goal. Okay?
That's what we're supposed to do.
That, and we're going to lower the goal so that the kids can actually enjoy it. You've got little kids, and they don't want, Dad, I can't reach that 10-foot basket. I can't even throw it up there. Throw it up there! Bill O'Brien, now he's probably not going to get a hoops goal. He doesn't want. Just throw it up there! No. You want to lower the goal so the kids can actually enjoy it. So if you're looking for a great way to have an enjoyable time for your kids, actually, they'll love it because they get to dunk and they get to hang on the rim. And they can hang on the rim all day long and then nothing will happen. And they're just going to enjoy basketball because you have dad bought them a goal that will lower and raise. And it's the best goal in the history of goals. So you're looking for the best goal in the history of goals. It's ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.